Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam. We've been talking on the subject of wasila, drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being close to God, and the things that will help you get close to God, and the things that will keep you away from God. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chaplain, retired. Now, we're recording this program for future broadcasts, but this is a live broadcast through our website at Chat Islam. chatislam.com. Now, this is open 24 hours a day. If you'd like to go there, you're welcome to do so. I can't tell you who's going to be there at any given time, but inshallah, you'll come and you'll be able to hear things because we do broadcast programs 24 hours a day over there that you can listen to or you chat with others. Let's come now to our question regarding the subject of what draws us closest to Allah, what will put us away from Allah. And here's the question. Somebody is saying, is it shirk? Shirk means to make partners with Allah. To call another person Allah or something Allah. Or to call a false God, to call it God. And it says, then how can the Christians be forgiven if they've called Jesus Christ God? And is this unforgivable or what? All right. Okay. First and foremost, let us look to the evidences. This is always imperative for a person who is seeking truth to look at what is a clear evidence. And that's why we go to Scripture and we look at what Scripture has told us. Scripture is only Scripture in the original language. So when you don't have original language, you are guessing. You are not going to get the same answer as if you had the original scripture. Therefore, it's not appropriate for us to use English. No prophet of Allah ever spoke English. It didn't exist until just 900 and some years ago after the Normans invaded the Saxons. Got it? So, English is a language that we're using, contemporary language. However, if you really want to understand and especially confirm what was said, what's been taught, you must go to the ancient languages, which are Hebrew, Aramaic, and Arabic. These are the Semitic languages. They were translated into Koine Greek and Latin. However, those are not the original languages of those prophets. Got me? Now, do any of the originals still exist? The answer is yes. There's no doubt. The entire Quran is still existing. Portions of the Old Testament and portions of the New Testament also exist because they're in the Quran, confirmed by the Quran. So when you find these, and then you find the ancient manuscripts in the Hebrew and the Aramaic saying the same thing, if you can compare it to the Quran, then you know for a fact that that's true. So that we can do. And where they agree, where you can take from these and look at them and see they say the same thing, then you have no doubt this is the teaching of the prophets. Okay? Now, first and foremost, let us look to what is called, commonly known as, to the Christians and Jews as the Ten Commandments. Look to the book of Exodus, which is one of the first, actually it's the second book of the five books of Moses. Chapter 20, you look into chapter 20, book of Exodus, and it says real clear that I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, and you know no other God beside me. Beside me, there's no other God. Then listen to this. The first commandment comes up. Thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. There's a second commandment comes after it. Essentially the same thing, but it breaks it down. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image, not of anything that creeps upon the earth, swims in the sea beneath, nor flies in the heaven above. Now this is paraphrasing the verse to give you an idea what it says. I'm not using the Elizabethan English. I'm not speaking to you in the way they did at the time of Shakespeare. Next, let us look in the book of Deuteronomy. You're going to find chapter 5. Same thing again. First commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. Second commandment, no idols, no images of anything. Walking on the earth, swimming in the sea beneath, or flying to heaven above. So it's clear from these verses, if there were no other verses in the Bible, that's enough to say that you can't worship anybody other than God. However, there are many other verses that say the same thing. I'll go to the book of Hosea. This is also in the Old Testament, in the books of the prophets. After the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you'll find a book of Amos and Jonah are back there. You'll find this book called Hosea. Look in Hosea, and I think it's in chapter 13, verse 4. The meaning of it is that it says something similar. I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. You know no other God beside me. Beside me, there's no Savior. So for sure, this goes with our subject tonight, talking about the wasila, the drawing close to Allah. Because to get salvation, you draw close to Allah, and it's Allah by His rahmah, His grace, that you are saved. You are not saved except by the grace. Nobody is saved except by grace. And it's Allah's grace, His mercy, that we're saved by, and He extends that to those who do what? They worship Him alone without partners. They do not break those two commandments that I just quoted to you from the Old Testament. Because those are the same commandments in the New Testament. I read to you already from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48. And Allah said, He does not forgive. La yaghfiru. He does not forgive the setting up of partners with Him in worship. But anything less than this, He can forgive it. And whoever has committed this shirk or association with Him as partners, then they have invented a monstrous thing, and they will not be forgiven for that. Now, the question. We have a question here. What about somebody who calls something God, like a rock or a stick? Or a stone, or a tree, or a bone, or anything that you can see, or you can hear, like sound, or that you can smell, like flowers, or that you can taste, or that you can imagine. Any of these things would be a false god according to Islam. Why? Because it's something that's in the creation, and Allah is not in the creation. And according to the verse that we just read from the Bible, those two verses are very clear when it says that you can't make any kind of an image or an idol about God. So if it's on the earth, under the earth, or over the earth, you can't worship it. How clear does it have to be? So what about the person who worships Moses? And he said, Moses is God. And you say, well, it's ridiculous. Why would he do that? Wasn't it Moses who went to Pharaoh and told him, you're not God. Don't tell people to worship you. You are not God. You're not the Lord of the worlds. You're not the Rabbul Alameen. And what about Abraham? Did people worship him? And again, he was telling people about false worship. David, Solomon, what did they tell the people? Worship God alone without any partners. Doesn't that make sense? Now let's look at Jesus, peace be upon him. I want you to go to your Bible, if you have a Bible. Look in a book called Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. The people are asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Keep in mind that Jesus was sent only to the Jews. He said that himself. If you want to believe your Bible, it's your Bible that says, Jesus told them he was only sent to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. It was not him, but rather it was Paul, the apostle Paul, who came later, who started carrying the message out to the non-Jews. to that point, up until that point, they were all Jews who had converted over to Christianity, or actually had converted over to the way of Jesus, because according to Paul, they were never even called Christians until after he took the message into Antioch. They were called people of the way, and that would have been the word deen in Arabic, Ahl Deen, people of the way. And that's what we are still called today as Muslims. We're people of the deen of Islam, the way of submitting to God. Now, if you read the verse, you'll see something amazing. Jesus is confirming the teaching in the book of Deuteronomy. The greatest commandment is to know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And you have to love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. So all worship has to be for who? The one Lord, the one God. Is the word Trinity there? I don't think so. In fact, the word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. The word three in relationship to God is not in the Bible. This is something that is amazing, that people could be brainwashed into believing something that there's no textual evidence for whatsoever. Not even in the translations of translations. Not even in some of the corrupted translations or books that have things added or taken out of. You will not find this teaching. There is no three. Okay? So if somebody said God is three and they want to worship the Holy Ghost, and by the way, that's actually Jibril, the angel Gabriel, is called the Holy Spirit. That's his title. Ruach Kadosh. He's mentioned in the Bible as Ruach Kadosh, and he's mentioned in the Quran as Ruach Kadosh. And if you doubt what I just said, I'll tell you how to prove it. Just take your Bible, go to the book of Matthew, and look in chapter 2, who is coming to Mary and telling her she's going to have a baby. And then compare it in the other Gospels when it talks about who comes to her and tells her she's going to have a baby. Same words. One says the angel Gabriel, and the other one says that it is the Holy Spirit, Ruach Kadosh. So for us, it's easy because it tells us in the Quran that it is Jibril, the Holy Spirit, who comes to Miriam and says essentially the same thing. You are going to have a baby. And she says, how is this possible when no man has ever touched me? And then the angel tells her that for sure with the law, all things are easy, because he merely says, be, and it is. Kun fayakun. Now, we understand from this that Jesus is created by Allah as a miracle birth. And there's no doubt about it, he's the Christ. Muslims know he's the Christ. Christ is the word in Koine Greek, which is the translation of the word from Aramaic, which means Messiah. And we mistranslate that word or transliterate it to be Messiah. Messiah, we call it in English, but it's actually Messiah. Messiah, from the Arabic or the Aramaic or the Hebrew, means the one who is chosen, picked out, anointed. And all of these come from this word Messiah, which actually means to touch, to wipe, or to anoint the head, because they used to take anointing oil, which was olive oil, and they would put their fingers in it and then tap the forehead, or wipe it on the forehead of the one who was to be their king. That was the ceremony performed when they would have a king who was a prophet and king for them. And he, Jesus, peace be upon him, is the Messiah. For us, we know because it's in the Quran. But is he God? He said, well, he's a miracle birth. He must be God. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Just because it's a miracle, does that mean that that's God? What about Moses? Didn't Moses do miracles? Do we not find Moses having miracles so amazing that it startled even Pharaoh? How about splitting the Red Sea open? I mean, you know, that's pretty big. People talk about Jesus walking on the water, which is no doubt about it. We don't have a doubt. We know he did, but didn't make him God. Walking on top of the water is one subject, but how about splitting the entire Red Sea open and taking all the children of Israel across all the way from one side to the other. And then when Pharaoh's team comes in after them, he causes the water to close in and drown them all. Does that make Moses God? Huh? No. That makes him what? He's a servant of God. God's defending him, protecting him. It's a miracle. And so the same holds true of all the prophets. If they come with miracles, these are identification marks for you to recognize that's a prophet of God. That's somebody special here. But it doesn't give you the right to worship them. Let us think in terms of the prophet Elijah and Elisha. They did miracles as well. They took the bones of a prophet, and brought it back to life. How is this possible? And how does life come back after somebody's been dead? But this happened in the time of Jesus too, but that doesn't mean he's God. If you said, well, because of the miracle birth, he had no father. Well, there's no doubt about it. Quran said the same thing. What about Eve? She didn't have a mother, but you don't worship her, do you? What about Adam? He didn't have a mother or a father. Are you going to worship him? I don't think so. No, these are things that people added later. The people who are misguided, unfortunately, by the devil, and they got people to start doing the very thing that would negate all of their good deeds and throw away everything that they'd worked hard to do because they refused to listen to what Allah said. And those who really believe in Allah and really accept what he teaches understand that there is only one message here. Don't worship anybody but God. And then everything after that can be forgiven, provided you're sincere in your repentance. But for sure, even if a person's bad, he can get out of hell. This is a teaching in Islam. Everybody gets out of hell eventually, except for those who refuse to accept this simple teaching. God is one. You have to worship him alone without partners. If you can't accept the first two commandments, if you can't accept that, you cannot be a Muslim. You cannot be a good Jew, nor can you be a Christian. Some people are going to argue, especially the Christians. They'll argue the hardest with you. You know why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. They'll tell you, yes, but. Then Paul came along, and then he had a different message. And Paul said, who's Paul? Is he God? Are you going to worship him? Do you believe everything he says? If you do, I got some special news flash for you. Read the book that follows the four Gospels. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Read in there where Paul tells the story, the first go-around, how he has his occasion to meet with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He describes it real clear, but then again, later on, chapters 24 and 26, he tells the story again, but with a different twist. And no one of these three stories is exactly like the others. In one case, he said he's the only one that hears it, the only one that sees it. The blinding light, the voice, nobody else sees it, nobody else hears it. He falls down, he goes blind. In another scenario, he says, no, they saw it, but they didn't hear it. And in another one, he said, yes, they saw it, they heard it, and they all fell down on the ground. And in that case, he didn't go blind, he just got his message right there on the spot. So which one are you going to buy? But I got a bigger one for you. I want you to think about this. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew has a statement in there confirmed by the Quran. This is the reason I'm accepting it. I don't accept the English version of the Quran any more than I accept the English version of the Bible. But I'm telling you that we do have in the Quran, in the Arabic language, what confirms this verse. Therefore, I'll quote it to you. Matthew 5:17. Write this down. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, 19. Read it for yourself. Red letter edition of the Bible, it's going to be in red letters because they said Jesus said it. He says, think not that I came to destroy the law. The law, in this case, is called Torah. It means the books of Moses and the prophets. In this case, it's talking about the books that I just mentioned to you, Amos and Zechariah and Hosea and Jonah and so on. These are the books of the prophets. And of course, the Psalms are from David and Solomon, etc. He says, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but rather to fulfill. He's come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And not until all things are accomplished shall a single dot, another translation says iota, another translation says tittle, another translation says jot, dot, tittle, iota, etc. You'll find many translations, but it says that not a single little mark is going to be in any wise lessened, to be weakened. Okay? And then he said, and if anybody breaks the least commandment, and teaches that it's okay to do that, they're going to be the least in the kingdom. But if anybody keeps the commandments and they teach that, they're going to be the highest in the kingdom. And unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, were the people who were the religious leaders of the time in the temple. Unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, then you'll in no wise enter the kingdom. So there's something for us to think about. I want us to take time to reflect on this teaching, because this is exactly what makes the difference between a true follower of Jesus and somebody who just says it. And that is to do what Allah has commanded, to do what Almighty God has commanded, and He has commanded all of His prophets to do and say the same thing. Say, I believe in God, and He's one, and He has no partners, and then worship Him with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. Do that, and you are a follower of Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, all of the prophets, and Jesus the Christ, peace be upon Him, and Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they said the same thing. Hello? How clear does it need to be? For me, for you, for all of us to realize what this message is about. So with that, I think we can sum up that whoever worships Jesus has violated what He said. Whoever follows a way other than what we've described and outlined in our program on Wasila tonight has not really believed in Allah, and they have not truly served Him, and they're on their own. And may Allah keep us free from them, and may Allah guide them before it's too late. Ameen. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live today. And for a rebroadcast of this and other programs, you can visit our website at islamyesterday.com. Check on the audio links and listen to our programs. This will be filed under the one called Beauty of Islam. Drawing close to Allah, wasila is definitely a beautiful part of Islam. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.